Hi, you're listening to Saints Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Enjoy the show.
That if I'm gonna get an answer, I've got to follow through with it. And so when I prayed about the Book of Mormon, I had, just like the sisters taught me, Heavenly Father, is the Book of Mormon true? And as soon as I finished with that word true, that same feeling I felt in my dream years ago just spread throughout my body.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Saints Unscripted. Jackson and I are here today with David Douglas, who is going to be sharing his conversion story with us. And we're excited to hear it and learn about him and his testimony. And he's got a lot to share, so we should get into it. So, David, do you want to start with like a intro to who you are? Like, where are you from?
Sure.
What's your favorite hobby? And then we get into your story.
My favorite hobby. Okay. My name is David, and I grew up in Palm Harbor, Florida. That's actually where I joined the church. And I would say my favorite hobby is, I'd say it's probably making 3D models.
That's freaking awesome. Yeah, so,
with like a 3D printer or some?
No. I have a YouTube channel where I try to help artists, you know, make backgrounds to their artwork.
Okay.
And so the 3D models are actually backdrops or 3D scenes.
What kind of models?
Cool.
Like, I've been rebuilding Japan. And then I did the Iron Giant not too long ago.
Okay, maybe you need to send us a picture so we can put
We're going to link that in the description. Maybe just for me. I'm intrigued. Anyway, spiritual stuff.
Yeah, so where did your story start?
I grew up in Florida, and there, you know, it's funny to be thinking about this. I'll tell you, every time I share my conversion story, I feel like I learn something new. So, you know, forgive me if I get a little emotional, because I'll make connections.
How dare you get emotional when talking about God? Don't you know God has no emotion?
In middle school, I had a really good friend. His name was Andrew, and we used to hang out all the time. We were pretty much literally every day doing something together. It was a really fun time to be able to hang out with him. And one day I was in his room, and he had this pamphlet that actually was a comic strip. And so when I opened it and kind of examined it, it was actually two different people one of them trying to have a conversation with the other. Basically what was happening was this guy that was leading the conversation he came over from the light side. So each panel was shaded, one light with rays of sunshine and the other was really dark.
Like the Skywalker talking with his dad?
Yeah. Okay. Or at least maybe, I don't know, his brother, but he didn't have a brother.
Okay.
But either way, he was persuading him, trying to get him to turn around and look at the amazing light that's on the other side. And he just was really stubborn. And so throughout the whole strip, it wasn't until the very end that the guy that came from the light decided, I'm going to get closer. And then the other guy had realized, you know what, I've been looking at this, you know, darkness, and I've been looking at this way for 40 years. Why would I ever change? And then he realized, 40 years, like, I should at least, you know, maybe take a peek to see what he was talking about. And then he takes a peek, and then he does the same thing that the other guy was doing. He goes to someone else to try and talk about how amazing the light was. So,
missionary.
So my friend, I asked him about this pamphlet, and I was like, what does this mean? Like, I literally asked what that was about. And he had said, you know, if you ask the Lord into your heart, you'll be saved. Now, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't have any significance of really, because I hadn't gone to church or attended anything.
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up happening is I considered what he said, though. So I went home. You know, basically pondering on what he said. And I was in my bed at home just thinking, you know what, if I say a prayer or if I try to speak to God, you know, if there isn't a God, then I'm not going to experience anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is, I should experience something.
Okay.
And so I figured it was pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty,
pretty simple faith, yeah. And I just thought, okay, well, I'll just try and do something. So I just said, God, I want to know what it's like. I want to know what it's like to have the Lord a part of my life. And after saying those words, I fell asleep. And I'm not sure if it was as a result to the prayer or not, but I next thing I noticed is that I was in the sky, and it was like ambient everywhere, as if the sun was about to set. And I had these, you know, huge thunderclouds surrounding me. And I saw this huge figure. It was like the first thing I noticed after I realized where I was. And it was like this, I want to say it was like a pitcher. Something that would hold water or some liquid, but it was very uniquely shaped. Basically, the top had a shape that was kind of like a Hershey Kiss, and then the middle was a cylinder, and then the bottom was a Hershey Kiss.
Kind of like an hourglass.
Yeah, kind of like an hourglass, but then the cylinder in the middle had handles mm-hmm. and spheres in between each of the handles. So four handles, four spheres, and someone could, you know, maybe take it and pour or whatever. But after I saw it, it was kind of on a tilt and just, you know, rotating. Then I saw the first thing I saw was something that looked like a horse, almost like an animal cracker horse, like a really simple version of a horse with two legs, maybe a bill or nose for a horse, maybe ears, and then a flat back and then a tail. Mm-hmm. And after I saw that, that was actually rotating around the object or the picture. And the next thing I saw was these two pillars with a triangle on top. And I kind of felt like that represented man-made creations or things that we can build. And then the last thing I saw was just this unformed blob. And it was kind of really interesting. But really, after I would say beheld all of these things, I actually felt this warm, tingling sensation that started in my heart and spread throughout my body. And it went all the way to the tips of my toes and my fingertips and my head. And immediately then, I knew God lived and that He loved me. And that was just honestly the most remarkable experience, because prior to this time, I hadn't had any Christian or, you know, I my family's from Cuba, my mom's side of the family. And so I'd been to Catholic masses, mm-hmm. and then my grandmother's sister told me about God once, but that was the
You weren't actively involved in any sort of spirituality.
Yeah, I think I did see a church commercial once watching TV when we first moved to Florida, but that was about it. Yeah, and so that really embarked my journey to really figure out who God was and what the purpose of life was. I was literally asking those questions of, you know, where do I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Yeah. And it wasn't until I got to high school, a little detour. What happened, one time I went to go see the movie Titanic with my brothers. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, something that probably a 13-year-old or 12-year-old doesn't have any business seeing. But when I went and saw in the movie the part where the ship breaks, I remember just feeling so awful that all these people would die the way that they did, because in that film there was
depicting an actual
event. Tragedy. Yeah, not just that, but like people also were separated through social mm-hmm. and financial classes, and so mm-hmm. I just thought it was really awful that could happen. But when I was having that moment, just bawling my eyes out, I remember feeling this warm, tingling sensation just spread all over me, like a blanket. And it really was letting me know that everything's okay. And so I was really thankful to have that experience. And I didn't have any context after that, but I just knew that it was okay. Everything would be fine. So it's almost like Heavenly Father was really there with me in that moment. So I'm really thankful for that. But it wasn't until I got to high school, I'd had a friend who wanted to invite me to go to this Baptist church because she didn't want to go, I guess essentially by herself. Her sister was invited mm-hmm. by her friend, and her sister didn't want to go without her. And so
invited her.
But yeah, so basically there's three girls and me, and so we all go to church because of the first girl inviting us. And I had started, you know, I thought it was pretty neat. I thought it was fine. And they were willing to take me to church continually. But at one point I realized, you know, there's people that are members of this church. And I thought, you know what? I could be a member. You know, I could join this Baptist church. And I had something within me just felt like it wasn't it, though. I just felt like something was missing. And I had made that decision that I'm not going to join, but, you know, I continue to attend. And they would have youth groups, and one youth group, see, I had my dream years ago, but at this point I was invited to, you know, be able to pray with others. Mm-hmm. I think they had this kind of system where they have all these youth, you know, give their hearts to the Lord. And I thought, you know, I've already done this before, but you know what, I want to say a prayer and, you know, contribute or do something. And I had this thought that I wanted to be like an archangel. You know, I wanted to serve the Lord and do what he wanted me to do. And it's a really interesting time because it was like I realized I was doing something different than a lot of my peers would have.
Yeah.
Like, as this was when I was 15.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So as a 15-year-old, I realized there's not a lot of people that search Christianity.
When they're 15.
Yeah, and so I thought, I'm going to be different. I realize I'm kind of that way where I want to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that was what motivated me. But in that youth group meeting, I prayed and I said, God, I want to be where you want me to be. I want you to guide me and put me where you want me to be.
It's a good thing to pray for.
Yeah, I had no clue what I was going to get into. So
yeah.
My friend, Andrew, we'd kind of grown a little distant, but he was kind enough to invite me to this Christian event called Acquire the Fire. And he, was like kind of like an EFY for mainstream Christians. And so his church was basically, had hotel rooms at Emory, Suites, Embassy Suites. And, they also had free food. So I thought that's for me. If it's free, it's for me.
I love free samples.
But the we went back to our hotel, and the next day we were getting up early to get ready for the event, and I didn't know anybody except my friend, and I wasn't really talking to my friend. I don't know why we weren't really chatting. He was, you know, kind of quiet at that time, and I just remember it was like a suite, so there's two rooms to it. I walked back to the front of the suite, and I heard this kid talking about the priesthood, and I was like, oh, interesting. Because by this point, I haven't gone to the Baptist church. Mm-hmm. I'd been asking questions of the minister, and I wasn't really getting many answers. Mm-hmm. And so I had asked him, I had asked this kid, it's funny. When I was approaching him, I heard a voice tell me that this is something that's true. This is something to listen to. And when I heard that, I didn't really think too much about that, but I just realized I was interested because I wasn't getting answers at the Baptist church, but this kid literally was talking with authority.
He just said something and then I just immediately...
He was just talking about the priesthood.
Something.
And I don't know exactly what he was talking about. I just remember saying, I want to learn more.
Yeah.
And he was shocked. He was so shocked that later when we were setting up time with sister missionaries at that event still, he was scheduling time with the sisters. He was bawling. He's a very emotional guy. His name's Anthony.
Was he also like 15 years old?
He was a little older than me. We're both millennials, I guess. After that moment, he set up time with sister missionaries. I had my first lesson at the church right before Mutual. So they taught me the first lesson. I went and enjoyed Mutual right after. And then after Mutual, I had my second appointment. Now, they had the sisters, Sister Ustavine and Sister Anderson. They both actually, they had invited me to read and pray. And for me, I wasn't really committed to my schoolwork.
So you were like, oh, no, I'm gonna read.
Yeah. I think I just kind of forgot about it, and I wanted to play video games probably.
You're 15.
Yeah, so...
Typical 15-year-old activities.
Yeah. So when they came back, they had asked if I read and prayed. And the junior companion, Sister Ustavine, she had asked me this pivotal question. Is this important for you to know? And when I heard that, I realized, wow, I asked these sisters to come to my home. Mm-hmm. I asked them to teach me. I asked them to help me piece together this amazing experience I had. And here I'm not even doing what it is that they asked me to do. So she didn't try to guilt trip me, but
she just said, honestly asking a question.
Yeah, it naturally happened. So they read
natural guilt trip.
Yeah, so they read the introduction with me, and then they invited me to read Third Nephi and Moroni's Promise. And for me, I didn't really know, like I didn't see the significance of any of it. But mm-hmm. by the time that I had read Third Nephi and got to Moroni's Promise, though, this was the thought process I was having in my head, is, and I read those words, and I said, it said real intent, you know, faith in Christ with real intent, and with a sincere heart. And now I didn't know what real intent meant, you know, I wasn't doing very good in school, but I realized that if I was going to get an answer, I had to be willing to follow it. And it was kind of this conversation in a way I was having with the Lord without realizing it. Yeah. The Lord knew my heart, and he knew I was having this serious consideration that if I'm going to get an answer, I've got to follow through with it. And so when I prayed about the Book of Mormon, I had, just like the sisters taught me, Heavenly Father, is the Book of Mormon true? And as soon as I finished with that word true, that same feeling I felt in my dream years ago just spread throughout my body, on the top of my head, my tips, my fingers. And at that moment, I was like, holy smokes. The sisters weren't here. I didn't tell them about this dream I had, nothing. And they, you know, I just had this experience by myself in my room. And I just knew it was real. Yeah. So,
you know, it can be scary. So it's like a very brave moment to ask, you know, kind of like, I need knowledge, but I'm willing to go and do whatever you want me to God. Like, that's a pretty scary mm-hmm. moment, right? Because it could be anything. And if it's, you know, if the church is true and you learn that, then you have to change your lifestyle sometimes. Right. And so that's a pretty powerful thing.
I don't think I had much of a lifestyle change. No. Thankfully, I mean, I know people have some serious explaining to do, you know?
Yeah, but you were just ready already, yeah. But you didn't know it, yeah.
No, I think it's beautiful how the Lord can help connect with us that way of things that we felt before. And I you know, I don't know if we were talking about this off camera, but like you said, the certain parts to it. Some people, they have that experience where just like, boom, church is true, that's it. It's like that one-time thing. But I really relate to how your story is going, where you get a piece, or you get this feeling, you're like, huh, there's something there that is special, or something mm-hmm. there that it's everlasting. And then when it encounters you again, you're like okay, like it increases your faith. It's like, okay, no matter what, this feeling, I want it. This feeling, it is good, and I'm going to do whatever I can to do it. And like Sabrina said, that's hard to do sometimes, because like, we don't, as humans, we don't really want to have to change to get the results we want.
Yeah.
So I think it's beautiful the fact that you were already had felt that, and you were willing to do whatever it costs to feel that as often as possibly could.
Yeah. So I guess I have a question for you. So I guess we haven't really gone to the baptism. Was it pretty like smooth sailing after that, or was there anything tricky?
Yeah. So there, it's funny because I was 15, and so when I told my mom that I was gonna get baptized, she was kind of shocked. Actually, yeah.
Were you sharing any of your journey with her? Any of your inner?
No, I mean, they knew. My mom knew. My parents were separated or divorced at that point, and so she knew that. I think she knew that people were coming by. I'm not sure, but my mom had probably met them. Anyway, she was shocked that I said I wanted to join mm-hmm. or get baptized. She actually, I got baptized 3 weeks later.
Okay.
And then after that, they continued to visit, and they eventually invited my mom to take the lessons. Mm-hmm. And so my mom actually got baptized. I baptized her
as a 15-year-old. Awesome. That's great.
And my grandmother, who was living in out of the country, came to stay with us temporarily, and we were going to church actively. This was, my mom got baptized about 8 months later, and then my grandmother, she started attending with us, and she was just blown away at how nice everybody was. And she actually moved to Spain, and then she found a chapel 2 blocks from where she lived.
Wow.
So she ended up getting baptized.
Wow.
She called us up one day saying, they want me to get baptized. Should I wait till you get here, or should I get baptized now? my mom and I were like, get baptized now. Get baptized now.
That's awesome.
So we went to go visit her in Spain, in Madrid. We went to the Madrid temple and did some of our first temple work, actually.
Yeah, this is so cool.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, so she's passed now. My mom's passed now, but my grandmother served a temple mission.
Wow. And the difference that a 15-year-old makes following these promptings is so cool.
So my mom, she did get her temple endowments out, but when she passed, though, she had attended the temple 2 days before she passed. So if you think about it, like the significance of the temple, just that she was already ready to go by the time that the Lord took her. So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Wow. So how has life been ever since?
Yeah, so I didn't say this at the beginning, but I now work in tech. I'm a UX designer. So I design apps and websites and whatnot. I've gotten married. I've been married for almost 15 years.
Wow.
So I've got 5 kids. So pretty excited, especially with my kids. Because for me, before I joined the church, I knew I always wanted to be a dad and be a husband. And so just getting to see the church experience through my daughter's eyes is really exciting. And
you have 5 daughters?
No, I have 2 daughters.
Okay.
And I have 3 boys. But it's just awesome to be able to say, like, she's getting ready to go to girls' camp for the second time. And I'm just so excited because as a 15-year-old, the church was, like, everything as a kid. So.
Wow. That's so cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that.
I'm really glad that this, I really like what you said, Sabrina, as well. Just, like, what the just following the promptings you have at a 15-year-old, you know, I think it calls back to what President Monson said one time. He never postpone a prompting from the Spirit, and you know you didn't. You're like, okay, like it's it feels right, and I think that has a lot to say about your sincerity as a person and sincerity when looking for truth, following those feelings.
If I could make one more comment, so I served my mission in Ohio, and I've gotten to serve in the Cleveland, Ohio mission in Kirtland. So I had Kirtland.
Special.
I've been to Kirtland, the John Johnson farm.
Oh.
My first area was where Joseph got Section 75. So I'd served in Akron.
Yes.
What they say in Ohio is that everybody that serves in Ohio serves there because they have some sort of family connection. I was the only Black missionary on my mission. There was one other Black missionary, but he left. But my grandfather always said that we had Cherokee in our family. And my great-great-grandmother was Cherokee and Blackfoot, I think. And so it's kind of become a realization that maybe the reason why I served in Ohio was because of even a connection to Ohio even further back than the Saints. So we were talking offline about how I have like a YouTube channel with, you know, Book of Mormon evidence stuff. And so it's been kind of a really emotional experience to like learn about these people that lived before Columbus and
those connections.
Yeah, yeah.
Special. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming, for sharing your story, for sharing your testimony. Do you have any last words or words of advice for our viewers as we wrap this up?
Yeah. If I could say anything, I would say that there's always answers. When I joined the church, I finally was getting those answers. I didn't understand the Bible until I joined the church. And for anybody that has questions, you can always find those answers. There's always an answer for everything. And so just keep searching, keep looking, and be patient. And have a simple faith.
Amen.
Thank you so much again.
Yeah, thanks a lot, David.
And if they have questions for you, are you going to be in the YouTube comments, or is there a way?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned I have a YouTube channel too, so Ancient Answers.
Ancient Answers.
Ancient Answers.
Wonderful.
Plug that right in there. Thanks a lot, David.
Thank
you for watching. Leave any comments you have for David. And
follow your promptings.
Follow your dang promptings, all right? See ya.
Thanks for listening.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube.
And you can message us on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Bye.